Okay, so last class we talked at some length about Jonah going down into hell, but more than that, that is what something, that's the thing that makes Jonah similar to Jesus, is the cross, but not just the cross, not the crucifixion, put it like that, but the death into hell. And there's kind of a controversy going on the web and scholars and everything, and they really search out all these scriptures, and they show that, well, this name shows that Jesus actually went to this place where there's no pain or suffering, okay? And I think they're doing it to keep their congregations. It's my guess, you know. It's like, no, don't worry. Even if you go to hell, it's not going to hurt. I don't know, so they use a lot of scriptures and things, and they say, well, this is misused in this way, and all that kind of stuff. Well, I will go through a set, but not for that same purpose. Bless you. Who's next? Do we have a winner? And usually Lindsay is the winner, because she'll hit at least two in a row. No, okay. That's the Spirit of Christ in you. I know. I know that it is. It's kind of a real thing that they're arguing about. You know, well, Jesus didn't suffer. We wouldn't want to think that Jesus suffered. You know, Lord, just read 1 Peter. Anyway. or the New Testament. So that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at some verses in relationship to Jesus going to hell. And also within that he suffered, okay, in going to hell. So let's see. So one of the obvious scriptures is going to be in the book of Jonah also, and you already know this, but, you know, it said that he went down into hell, and it didn't look like it was a party in there, you know what I'm saying? And Jesus is the one who said, this is similar to what I went through, 3 days and three nights in hell. He was in the belly of the whale. So, I wrote, and Jesus himself acknowledged that Jonah's version is correct. Okay, so in Acts 2, verse 31, it says this: He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. Okay, so I'm just using that one, that part of the verse. The next bunch in there will have even more validity to just show that he went into hell. Okay, and then just to give you the verse on Jonah, this is Jonah 2, verse 1 and 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Get him, Jesus. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I. Kelly, hell! Okay. Yeah. And thou heardest my voice. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the use of the word hell. Jonah's use of the word hell in Jonah 2:2 is sometimes translated as the word pit. The pit. Okay. I wrote, don't let that throw you, for it's the exact same word as hell. You know, you can tell my notes are not stolen, can't you? You know, don't let that throw you. so professional. Anyway, they're not different derivatives, but exactly the same word. In the Strong's Concordance, they are H7585, which is the Hebrew word shoel. So now let's look at some of the examples of other scriptures that use the same Hebrew word for hell and find out the force of its use. So one of them is Numbers chapter 16. And the reason why we're looking at this is because this is the one which we have looked at before. And it talked about the earth opening up and swallowing, you know, the people that were complaining and trying to go against what God had chosen. This is verse 30. I think we're just going to read Numbers 16, verse 30, and then 33. But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertained unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, the word pit is the same word as hell. Then he shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. So he's saying, remember how we did the study on swallowed up and that they all went down. They all got swallowed up and they all went down. Either into the Red Sea or the earth opening up. And they did that because they provoked the Lord. Well, that's what this is literally saying. Then shall they understand that these men have provoked the Lord. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, saying that, using that same word again, hell. And the earth closed up upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. You know, I remember back when I was younger and I was out witnessing with some friends and, you know, one of them was witnessing to a person while we were standing there and said, you know, you can have eternal life. You can live forever. You know, and then I interrupted and said, you know, you're going to live forever no matter what happens. You're either going to do it in heaven or hell. The person almost went, let's pray, you know. It's like, but when you just mention, you know, well, then you can live forever. Well, folks, in that sense, nobody dies in the sense of ceasing to exist. They just spend the rest of their eternity in hell. So this swallowing up, we saw that with the mariners. I don't know if you remember that, because it's been so long ago. But they were plotting and figuring out and trying to, you know, put all the blame on Jonah. And Jonah is asleep in the bottom of the boat, which we never got into that part of the story. But like Jesus was asleep in that part of the boat. And when they threw him over the boat, and they're the ones who deserve to die. But Jonah said, go ahead and throw me over. You know, I'll bear the guilt. Then they should have been the one who went straight to hell. But Jonah did that, just exactly as Jesus did for us. So even more convincing scripture, this should help us in relationship to the word hell, because this is sort of a familiar scripture from the Old Testament for you. It's called Isaiah 14. Anybody familiar with Isaiah 14, which we, pro-self class, pretty much brings that one up along with Ezekiel 28 all the time. So this is Isaiah 14, and we're going to look at verse 9, and we'll just... we'll read all the way down to verse 15. Hell from beneath is moved for thee. This is talking about to Lucifer. Y'all remember all that? Has moved to meet thee at thy coming. All right. Good grief. This is the Lord's response to pro-self. Hell is waiting for you, and everybody that's there is kind of waiting for you to meet thee at thy coming. It stirreth up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It hath raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee. This is what they're going to say. The deceived ones, the breached ones, the ones who got fooled or deceived or just chose it outright are going to say to him, art thou also become weak as we are? Because they're all now in hell. Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials? The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. Verse 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit, not to the sides of the north, but brought down to the sides of the pit. Both words hell there in verse 9 and verse 15 are that same word for where Jonah went and where Jesus went. Hell. Okay. So the devil is not going to a place where there's no pain. Because that's what these scholars are claiming, that, well, Jesus didn't, he went to a place where there was no pain and all this. You know, it was a special hell. I don't know what they're saying, but it's, you know, clearly is going dead set against what Jesus said of Jonah and of what was said of him. Okay, so now back to Acts chapter 2, because we're going to finish out those verses where it said that he went to hell. And you might want to pay attention to Acts chapter 2, verse 22 through 24. It's going to open up a lot, Lord willing. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Okay. So notice the word pains of death, there were pains that took place at the trial, I'm sure. There were pains that took place on the cross. But these are the pains of death, meaning he was dead. let's see. Okay, so then, so let's talk a little bit about the pains of hell. The pains of hell. We had used this description, I think, in the because there's some real similarities going on here between the pro-self class and this one right now. It didn't start that way, but they sure did weave themselves together. So the pains of hell. I had mentioned this in that class, and I don't remember if I had this time. Only wild beasts forever at one another's throat. Meaning that's what hell is. It's all that which is contrary to the Lamb, okay? The Lamb, that class is really not just called pro-self, it's called pro-self in contrast to the Lamb, okay? So, where was I? Only wild beasts, and when I say wild beasts, It's everything that is wanting its way. It's everything that will work. It'll manipulate here. It will do this. It will seek to get ahead. It will seek to get higher, like the devil, like the one, the breach master. It follows after that pattern. It is of that pattern. People just don't know it. They don't know it. They just think, well, I've just got a lot of ambition, you know, and God gave it to me. Okay, be careful with that kind of stuff. My God. because, you know, the ways are the ways of death. In Genesis, this is what God saw when just before Noah. He looked and every imagination of their heart was only evil and was only self-centered and was not on the Lord at all. And then also, it's what Noah was faced with. Where? In the ark. Thank you. Yes. God wanted him to see this thing. He wanted him to see that you are rising above the death. You are rising, you know, not by your own power, not by self-exaltation, but by salvation. Meaning born again, born of another seed, born of another life. And, you know, God just doesn't have a problem if it's just one person in his family. Did you know that? You know, with the whole world at that time. And obviously, we were listening to the news this evening, and then they said that the DFW area has now moved into third place. New York City and Los Angeles are first and second. And DFW is now in third place. It probably, who knows if it had as many people as New York City or whatever. But the point is that God doesn't have a problem. He's not, see, that's the deal. We just don't get it. We're so self-centered. We're so self-centered that we can't look at Jesus there on a throne, seeing nations and different tongues and different colored skin and all this stuff. But he doesn't see all that. We see that. And we go, well, I'm in there and it's going to be okay. He sees sheep, meaning lambs, or goats. And he is a shepherd, but he was a sheep first. He was the Lamb of God. Okay, so there's, you know, he can recognize what is what. We don't. This thing is so convoluted that we can't tell what's what. We really can't, you know. And that's not being harsh or anything. It's the power of darkness that has indeed the whole world is under the darkness of the enemy. And see, I've never got to that in the pro-self class or this one, but I have major scriptures that will show you from the Word of God how deep and how far off this thing has gotten. You know, we go, some people go, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Play some happy music. Do, you know, do this and that. You know, okay. Oh, okay. You know, there used to be a commercial a long time ago, and it was about certain places that you could go to get your car fixed. And the commercial was based on the mechanic saying, well, you got this problem here. You can pay for it now or pay for it later. And everyone went, I think we'll pay for it now. You know what I mean? Because it's going to cost way more later on. And I, you know, I was a Christian watching that commercial and just going, wow, you know, let's get it all settled now, you know. So, anyway, So in Acts chapter 2, verse 24 now, it says, let me read this little sentence. Hell was made for them, for the devil and his angels, which we've said many times. But hell was not made for those of another nature, which we mentioned last time. That's why Jesus couldn't be holden by it. So this verse says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, which we just dealt with, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Do you understand what that means? It means that hell could not hold him there because he didn't fit the mold. He was not after that. It would be if there was a certain shape. Jesus calls in all of them, and then he divides the sheep from the goats, and they all have a certain shape, and it's different. Sheep are shaped different than goats. And then they walk up there, and they push them up to it, and you fit the pattern you're in. Well, no, you don't. We're digging out our list that we've been working on while we're laying on our sick bed thinking we're going to die, so that I've got it ready when I go up and see Jesus and go, okay, there was the time when I helped Sister Susie, and you know, and then there was a time. I mean, what if the Lord goes, pulls out his thing? Oh, you undo lists, okay? There's the time you didn't help Sister Susie. There was the time you didn't help this person. There was the time you didn't even think about that. You don't even remember because you didn't even think about it as an issue. And this and this and then, you know, angels, help me with this scroll. Rolling it up with all the junk and just like, I'm sorry for the list. Could we talk? You know what I mean? So, this is a powerful scripture. Having raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be holden by it. Okay. Now, I believe that same truth fits everybody that fits the mold. If you're a sheep, you can't be, if they sent you to hell. Okay, let me give you the best example that would be familiar. Jonah was in the whale, right? 3 days, three nights, just like Jesus. But what happened to him? The whale spit him out. He said, get out of here. Have you ever had something get stuck in your throat or something, you're just coughing and trying to get it out, and you know, maybe it's gone down your windpipe. I had a really bad thing happen several years ago, and it was horribly bad. It went on for hours, and I was trying to get it out. It was stuck halfway between my esophagus and my windpipe, and just my body was reacting, I'm doing everything, every cough, every movement to get it out. It said, you don't belong in here. You don't belong in the windpipe. Get over there where the food goes down. Well, that wasn't a live entity in there, but it was a live entity. It was a live entity as a part of what God, the way God made us and the way God made me. And he made it where certain things don't belong there. And so get it out. And I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was real bad. You'll never know. My eyes were bulging for weeks, and you think, no, yes, because I was coughing so hard. Anyway, so this thing about being holden of it, let me just go ahead. Satan going to hell as well as Jonah. So Satan is going to go to hell, right? Just like Jonah and just like Jesus, right? Except for what? He fits there. Thank you. Well said. He fits there. And he's not coming out. He's not coming out. But Jonah came out. You say, well, I don't understand that. That's because we don't see the full picture of Jonah. I mean, he's a bad boy, but there's some things. I'm always tempted to say a few words that would give something away here. But Jesus didn't fit there. Jesus said, this is just like Jonah. You know, I'll go 3 days and three nights, but he didn't say, you know, or it might be longer, depending on the weather in hell. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to, you know, say, this is definite. You may be, it may be only 3 days and three nights. It may only be a portion. I don't think it'll be anything for us, but I'm just saying, if it was, you don't fit if you don't fit. You don't fit if you don't fit. And so, so Satan goes in there, and that's it. That's, you know, until after the millennium, when God wants to check the 1,000 years, the people that were there for 1,000 years, and see how they have fared. Have they conformed? Have they? In other words, there'll be a second chance, but not for. Gosh, I've said stuff like this before in some of the other classes, but there's a second death. Just put it like that. And you know, yeah, well, you have a Bible, right?
Yes.
It's not used a lot. And you just read around the area and go, oh my God, all the people that got saved are there at the millennium for 1,000 years with him. But then the devil is loosed by God to check everybody out. And a number that is innumerable after 1,000 years of da-da-da-da joins sides with the devil of that same spirit. Now, they were initially saved. And then it's sakalavaka. Okay? Then, all right, so then hell was made for those first and foremost, for those who were breached. Jesus and the laminated are a foreign element. The laminated. See, these are breached, or these are breached over here, and these are laminated. You get it? Anyway, it helps to see, at least see the difference there. That this was a breach that formed them on Jesus' left hand. It was a breach that formed. They didn't. Do you think they all knew it? No. That's why the devil's so good at this, because he's the number one thing. He's a great deceiver. I'm telling you that. If you search him out, the prime thing that he is really good at is that he's a deceiver. And that's why all these people, when Satan is thrown into hell with all these other people who used to be followers of him but are now in hell, they're going, what? Is this really you? Is this what you, are you like us? Are you just, in other words, you're just a deceiver. You were nothing, really. You had us thinking you were, you know, higher than God. Well, you know, there are doctrines and everything else that promote, you know, success in life and becoming successful, you know, on your jobs and all this kind of stuff. Well, you know, if people weren't successful on their jobs, the economy go down the tube. We're not talking about doing your job and maybe even doing it for the Lord. We're talking about that thing that's always wanting to go higher and higher. And then you get to a certain place, you go, I'm sick of this. You know, I want to go higher. And I can't be satisfied. I've got to have more. Wait a minute. Notice where those hands are. You're supposed to be crucified. Not up there yelling with fists. Okay, so all right. So I'm gonna do a twisty here on you. I'm going to stop in chapter 2, and we're going to go to chapter 3. Okay? What?
In Jonah.
In Jonah, yeah. Just so you know, if you're really interested in this area and you're not in the ProSelf class, or you don't have access to it, or you haven't been following up, it really, really, really spells all this out more. So I'm saying that to let you know that if you feel like, oh my God, I've been cut off, there's more information, and I've been cut off, and now I'm going to go to hell because of Randy. It's in the other class. Just take the time, get the tape. It'll do you a world of good. All right. So now we are, oh Lord, help us. Now we are in chapter 3. All right. Jonah chapter 3. And doesn't it feel like now we're making a little progress? Lord. All right, here we go. Verse 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city of 3 days' journey. If I was Jonah, and this is the way I tend to think, I put myself in that situation and I go, okay, I was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights for running from the Lord, and so I'm gonna be a good boy now. I'm gonna be a good boy. And then the Lord comes to you the second time. It says the second time the Lord comes and goes, okay. And he repeats the same words, go to Nineveh, and you go, oh, okay, I'm going to do that, And then, and the Lord says, oh, by the way, it's a 3-day journey, and you go, hold up, 3 days again? I had the belly of the whale for 3 days, now another 3, what's up with you? What's going to happen during this thing? Well, Jonah's still got a long way to go at this point. All right, so, Jonah, verse 3, so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So there it is, good. That's an improvement. He did what he was told, but he still rebelled against it in his heart. It's a little bit like the children of Israel in Egypt, and God delivers them, and he got them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. Can I get amen? He got them out of Egypt. We're not in Egypt anymore. We're going to the promised land. But Egypt, because it was still in them, they always wanted to go back, turn back. Well, this is hard. Why is it so hard? It was, it wasn't so hard with Pharaoh. He would give us stuff. All right. So, and then verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Okay? So he gets there, and he says, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So here we hear Jonah's message. You got 40 days to shape up. He's very tender. Have you noticed that throughout he's just a very tender-hearted man. You got 40 days to shape up, starting now. All right. So, verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. All right. So this is the Ninevites, right? Remember the Ninevites, everybody? You remember that? The Ninevites that are going to be able to testify against that generation that crucified Jesus. This is them. They believe God. They proclaim a fast. They put on sackcloth. And how many did that? From the least to the greatest. That's big stuff. The greatest? The greatest? So, Jonah's preaching must have been just powerful, right? You know, just powerful. Or was it? I'm going to read Matthew 12:41. You don't have to turn there. I've read it a bunch of times, and we'll read it again and again. It says this: "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And a greater than Jonah is there also in Nineveh." Can you see him? Do you see him? Shh. Do you see him? He's there. Let's read verse. Well, let me make sure here. I'll read this. A person sees all of these results, which we just read, right? We saw all these results. Did you see? They repented, they fasted, they did all of this stuff. We see all these results, and they seem sincere. And we have every reason to believe that they were sincere, because Jesus said they will stand in judgment, right? But let's combine verse 5 with verse 6 in order to consider the real reason they did this. Okay, so I'm going to start at 5 and go through 6. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and he covered him with sackcloth, and he sat in ashes. Okay? Why did this massive revival happen? It happened because of the heart of the king. Okay? There's more that's going to prove that. Okay? Just don't go by that, but that should be enough. That guy. He was like, if you compare him even with Jonah, he's a greater than Jonah. Even his message will be a greater than Jonah. I mean, it's amazing and it's powerful. Anyway, so though he was king, his heart personally was with God. Where are you going to find a king like this? Jesus. Jesus, they're greater than Jonah. And the Lord's, Lord's literally watching this king do all this stuff. And he's looking at Jonah and he's going, this guy's greater than you. Oh, you did say 49, you know, whatever, how much was it? 40? Of course. You know, 40 days or you're done for. You're toast. Good, really good message. All right, so let's look at this. So besides Jonah declaring, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, there's something greater happening. It was their king. He was an example to them. He went low. We'll see that. He went low. He was a king, but he took off his kingly garments, and he put on sackcloth and ashes, and he fell down before him, and he proclaimed personally the Lord as a king, but as a humble king. He proclaimed personally to them of this reality, and they all started following him, and he saw to it that it got published throughout, for all of his people would get the message, but get more than the message, get the spirit of their king. Get the spirit of their king. All right, so here we go. Verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. So they were not to feed their flesh or focus on, you know, their own needs for a period of time. Let's get with the Lord. But I need soup. Or Esau, I need porridge, you know. So I'll sell my birthright. You'll do it. If you don't have this, see, you don't have the heart of the king. But you can have the message and the life and the spirit of him fill you and cause a whole nation to move in one spirit instead of, we need to be afraid. We only got 40 days. We got to do something quick. Amen? Something very practical. So, verse 8, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Can you see that? It says, man and beasts, amen, be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Don't fool around. Don't play around. Don't play at it. Get with the program of the king's heart. And let's say, mightily for God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil ways and from the violence. And, you know, remember the word violence that we got from Noah's era is talking about pushing someone out of the way so that you can be. It's the same thing as pro-self, okay? It's not violence as we know it. Well, I'll just pull out a gun or I'll pull out a machete and just chop your arms off. What do you think of that? It's not that kind of violence. It's not. It's this selfish thing that will, you know, got to be first or got to be loved or got to be whatever. All right, so verse 9, I'm doing pretty good here. Thank you, Jesus, because I have so much in the next chapter. I do. This is like, we'll be here 3 more years if I don't do this tonight. So, verse 8, but let man and beast be covered. Okay, I read that, didn't I? Oh, yeah. Okay, so commenting on that, the king wished for them to be clothed in humility. Where do we get that scripture from? What book? 1 Peter. Woo. But he wanted them to cry, not half-heartedly, but mightily. The king wanted it. The king wants it. He wants your heart that much. Well, I don't want to do it. It'll make me look needy. I don't want to look needy. I want to look mighty. I want to be mighty, but not mightily crying. but he wanted them to cry, not half-heartedly, but mightily. And he wanted for them to turn from evil ways and violence. Okay, verse 9. Who can tell? And this is the king talking still. See, Jonah got one little strip there of, you know what I mean? 40 days, you know, or the king is pouring oil over his people. He's pouring not just truth, but spirit and life over them. And he's got it working in him. Does Jonah have it working in him? No. So the kings are greater than Jonah. And so what are we supposed to do with that? We're supposed to look at this king. And when Jesus mentioned that, and Jesus said a greater than Jonah, we're supposed to see this king as the Lord's heart and how he cares and how he wants us to be and to draw together in one spirit and one way and to move together like that and to, you know, let that spirit overtake us instead of the fear of, oh no, 40 days and, you know. Oh, it's truly beautiful. Okay, so this is the king's words. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish it not? Well, if nothing else, there's hope. Hope is a powerful thing. Did y'all know that? Hope is a powerful thing. You know, I've had so many people say, well, I just don't have any faith. I said, well, you know, let's start working on hope. You know, then abideth these three things, faith, hope, and love. You know, let's work our way up the ladder, you know. Grab hold of the lowest rung and say, I hope I can make it. You know, just be, just be with him in whatever way that you can, you know? In whatever way that you can at the moment. We all flake out. We all mess up. We all do that stuff. But his heart never changes. This is our king. That's describing our king. It's beautiful. He's beautiful. And what a blessing he brought to his nation. He's an Assyrian, and the Ninevites are Assyrians. I started to say something, but I won't. Thank God. But if you want to know what I was going to say, I'll tell you later in secret. No, I won't. I won't. Now I'm going to start getting red because you can know that what I was going to say is going to be powerful in the Lord. Anyway, okay. So we see that his last words to them, this is the king, is pointed towards God. Ooh, yeah. They are words of hope, of fact that this God is not too stiff, that destruction is his only option, but he might could be drawn back to mercy. Well, Jonah didn't know that kind of God. You know how this thing ends, right? Chapter 4. Jonah didn't have that kind of faith. Thank God there's a greater than Jonah there. Hallelujah. You know, and Jesus said he was there. Jesus saw this guy, you know. Anyway, so remember that these are the king's words, not Jonah's. Shortly we will find Jonah stubbornly poised, looking down on Nineveh, hoping they would be destroyed. This from a man who had just recently been extended extreme mercy from the God he was caught running from. Okay. Let me just ask then, is there hope for Jonah? Absolutely. You know what Jonah's name means? Dove. Do you know who the dove is? The Holy Spirit. Don't you see how Jonah is a perfect picture of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity? No. Not yet. Not yet. Then where? That's the question. This from a man who just recently been extended extreme mercy from the God he was caught running from. No, the words and actions that truly moved the people came from one who was a greater than Jonah in word, in deed, in heart, in care, in hope. That's not all written there, but that's what he was. That's what he was to me when I put myself in this story as a Ninevite that should be destroyed. And I heard that. And it moves me. And it gives me hope. And it makes me love him more. It does. It makes me love him more. However, that's just a picture and shadow of the one who is referring back to the story of Jonah, Jesus. All right. And then, verse 10, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. So this revival lasted 40 days. And then 40 more, and then 40 more, and then 40 more, and then 40 more, and 40 more, and 40 more, and 40 more. It lasted a 100-year revival among the Assyrians. Probably one of the reasons why they eventually got defeated by the Babylonians, because they were no longer the beast. Babylon became that. They became the weak ones, and yet God just swoops them all in, you know. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, the strongest nation in the world. Until Babylon came along. So we've got the fourth chapter to be able to go over next semester. Oh, no, I'm not. It's full. You can look at it and go, well, it's nothing but Jonah Jr. You know, he's just doing it again, you know. But the ways of the Lord, you know, we see that beautiful way with the Lord tonight, didn't we? The ways of the Lord with Jonah through this are still just the ways of the Lord. That's all I can say. Still just the ways of the Lord. And and eventually the dove will be seen. Eventually the dove will be seen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are humbled and yet Lord, even though we're few in number here tonight and few in number, as it were, on Zoom, we don't want to respond to a message. We want to respond to a call. You have called us unto the image of your Son. You have called us to be a place for him to inhabit. We don't want to just keep moving toward altar calls. We don't want to keep moving toward being moved by a message. We want to hear the call of your heart, and we want to take up the cross, and we want to say, we're going. We're going after you. This is our calling. This is what our life should be about. This is where we want to live and where we want you to live inside of us. We want you to have a home. We want you to have a comfortable home. We don't want it full of junk. We want it a place that you would feel blessed to dwell. But we only become that as you come in, like the parable, and you sweep out all the stuff. And then you settle in. You find in us that which is worth something, as it were. Not that it's based on our worthiness, but something of this spirit in this heart that's in us, that coin that seems to be lost at times. And to answer the call, we need you to sweep. We need you to sweep through and find it again and bring rejoicing out of this house to the neighbors and to your heart. And so we pray humbly. We pray humbly. You're so tender. You're a lamb, and Holy Spirit, you're a dove, and Father, you're a father. You're so tender to us, and you're so long-suffering, but we're tired of trusting in your long-suffering because it just means you're suffering long with us. We don't want you to have to just keep suffering and suffering long with us. So we want to say yes to your calling instead of coming up and responding to a message. The calling comes from your heart. The calling is like this king, this greater than Jonah, who starts tearing his own clothes and getting humble and getting down and getting lower and lower, and yet he got so low you would think that he would be discouraged, but in his lowliness, he said, who knows if you might turn and bring us through. So, Father, it's up to your people individually. No man can make something happen. But there are times, not just in our church, but in many churches, that someone will hear the call of your call, whether it's related to being a missionary or what we're talking about tonight. They hear it and they say, I'm going to say yes to that call. I'm going to answer the call like the king's people did, like they did. So we ask you to move upon that which you can move upon, and to cover and take care of and bless that which is not ready, or however words that we use. And in all of it, in any response or direction that we take, we still hang on to you. We still hold on to you. We still know that you're the best thing that ever happened to us. And we thank you for it with truly grateful hearts. Father, we say that in Jesus' name. And Jesus, we say that to you. And Holy Spirit, we say that to you. What a wonderful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful God you are. Thank you. Thank you. From hearts that have gratitude. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.